So over the last few weeks, we've been hearing about the lead up to Jesus' birth and his actual birth in Bethlehem. And we're now going to hear about an event which happened about 40 days after Jesus was born. And it happened in Jerusalem, which was a journey of about 6 miles from Bethlehem. So I have some people who are going to do a dramatic reading for us.
Philip, you're on. I don't know.
This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons, as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God.
Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal you, your will to the Gentiles, and bring glory to your people Israel.
The child's father and mother were amazed at the things Simeon said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother,
this child is chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God, which many people will speak against, and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break your own heart.
There was a very old prophet, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple. Day and night she worshipped God, fasting and praying. That very same hour she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free.
Blessed are you, Lord God, for you have given us this child. In him we will know God's salvation for Jerusalem and for the world. The light has come among us and is now here. Praise be to God.
When Joseph and Mary had finished doing all that was required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew and became strong. He was full of wisdom, and God's blessings were upon him.
As one year gives way to the next, we carry with us all the years that have passed. We too, however young or old, are full of years. Although for some this may be a burden and difficult to carry, we all have the opportunity to learn from our experiences and to grow in wisdom. I don't know how many people have seen the film Slumdog Millionaire, but this illustrates this matter rather nicely. It's assumed that the boy in the film, Jamal Malik, an 18-year-old orphan from the slums of Mumbai, must be cheating. How could he possibly know the right answers? But through flashbacks, we are shown how his experiences over many years have given him the knowledge that he needs to win the jackpot. So let us think what we can learn from our experiences and how this can help us to be a better disciple of Jesus in the future. Now, I need someone who is good at writing on the board. Any volunteers?
Okay, so we've got a circle. What could the circle stand for? Any ideas?
Completeness.
Anything else? The world? Yeah. Anything else? Right. A record? Okay, in fact, it is this morning a clock. Right, but it could also stand for the world. So it could be including everybody. That's what we're talking about, everybody and everybody's time. So if you could start off by putting some numbers on the clock. Yes. So how many numbers do we have on the clock? Perhaps some of the younger ones? Yes. 12, that's right, because we've got 1 to 12, haven't we? Very good, right. Okay, so we've got our numbers on. So we also need an hour hand. So you can put it on whatever number you like. So that's a little hand, isn't it? The hour hand. So it's 2 o'clock. Well, it could be 22. We don't know what the big hand says yet. Right. So the hours represent the division of our time into large blocks. So can you think, everyone, what do you spend most of your time doing during the week?
Sleeping.
Okay. That could be one of the things. Yes. Anything else? Working? Yes, definitely working. What about some of the younger people? Yes. School? Yes, yeah. Anything else?
Reading?
Driving? Yes. Traveling? Praying, was that? Did I hear praying? Right, okay. So we thought it'd be good if that does take up a big chunk of your life, praying. But what we're going to do is, if you could write on either the words which you've had, or if you're good at drawing. So, yes, so working, sleeping. School. Right. No one's got relaxing. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? Right. So that's the large chunks of time. So we have got praying already, but what do you think we could do better in those big bits? So how might we share the love of God wherever we are? So, okay, let's have a think about school first of all. Anything you could do at school? If you've got perhaps somebody in, yes, yes. Yes, you can learn, yes, you can be a good pupil, that would be good. Listen to what the teacher says, do your homework. I was thinking, what about the other people at school? Is there somebody in your class who hasn't got many friends or is on their own? Is there something you could do? Yes. Yes. Yeah. So be friendly. Yeah. And to include people on their own. And that also applies to other things, doesn't it? Anything that we do, if we see someone on their own, whether it's a club we go to, if it's church, then we can welcome people, make sure they feel included. Right, so that is looking at the big parts of time. Now I'm going to draw in the minute marks between the numbers. Yeah. Yeah. Minutes, yeah. Yes. So how many of those do we need? How many, Ian? Yes. 60? That will do, yes. 60 minutes. We won't count them up afterwards. Right. So the minutes represent the smaller parts of our day. Hopefully a few quiet moments, brief conversations, short journeys that we make. And God requires us to make the most of those moments as well as the big moments. Because sometimes a smile or just a good morning can make a big difference to someone. Have you ever tried sitting on the tube and smiling at people? They find it very disconcerting. Yes, I think, well, a bit weird there. But sometimes you might find a visitor and they actually talk to you then. But otherwise people don't talk on the tube, do they? No, it's not the done thing. But a smile at the person, perhaps the person who collects your tickets, the person in the shop, a good morning, how are you? Can make a big difference to them when they're feeling tired and worn out and they've got all the grumpy customers to deal with, and then they have you who gives them a smile and says, good morning, how are you? So just a little thing, but it can make a big difference. So anybody think of some short periods in their life which they perhaps could make better use of? Who has to travel on the train or the bus or the tube a lot? A few people, right, okay. Or who has to go into Enfield Town on the bus to go shopping? Right, a few people. Yes, yes, and talking to people, that's good. So I know some people can't read on the train or the tube because they feel a bit sick, but if you don't, what I do in the morning is I read my Bible notes, and I think that just sets aside a little bit of time during the day to spend with God. Because sometimes God can get pushed out a bit, can't he? Because we're rushing around doing things, and sometimes those things seem more important than actually spending a bit of time with God. So we've got to think of making better use of the big chunks of time, the little chunks of time. And we're thinking how we can use all of our time to build a better kingdom for God. Right. So, have we got anything missing from our clock? The big hand, haven't we? Yes. So would you like to draw a big hand in? That's it. And if you've got a very clever clock, it also sometimes tells you other things as well, doesn't it? Like, anyone have an idea? Or maybe a watch sometimes tells you some other things as well. So the phases of the moon, that would be a very clever one, right? Okay. We could put a moon over here. Over here, yes. Okay. Okay. Anything? Yes, Stephen. Could have alarm on it, yes. Right. That's good, right. So what about something, I was thinking, the weather. Oh, right, okay. You've got some very fancy clocks. Okay, a bit of rain, sun, yes. Very good, right. Anything else? What about, what's today? Give anybody any clues? The date, yes, the date. So what's the date today? 31st. Yeah, okay, so we know what the date is, yes. But we've got lots of time here, lots of different things we're doing. But which bit is God's time? All of it, yes. Hopefully all of it. So if we think of God's time, so sometimes we have to do things to God's pace, don't we? Because we want to do things now, and God says, no. And we don't like the answer no, do we? I think whatever age we are, we don't like the answer no. So we've got to have patience. We think back to our Bible story with Simeon and Anna. They had to wait an awful long time, didn't they? And they'd been going to the temple. They knew that the Messiah was coming, but they didn't know when. And then Simeon, coming to the end of his life, at last meets the Messiah. He meets Jesus. And he recognizes in this little baby the Savior of the world, something which God had promised him, but he'd had to wait an awful long time for. So we need patience as well, don't we? It's very hard to have patience. I find that particularly hard, because I feel there's so many things to do, and if God had acted a bit quicker, then it would help me. But God's got his own plans, hasn't he? And God, he exists outside time. We've got to remember that. To him, it says in the Bible, 1,000 years is like a day. Well, that's a bit daunting, because I don't think any of us are going to live for 1,000 years. But if that's only a day to God, well, he's going to think of that as a very long time. But the main thing is that we put our trust in God, that we know that he's in charge. For some of us looking forward to 2018, it might be a bit daunting in some ways. Perhaps you're worried about something or something you've got to deal with. So it's good to remember that God is going to be there with you, walking alongside with you and guiding you. If you let him, you've got to talk to God to seek his guidance. And God always waits for the right time to respond to us, the time when he knows that it'd be to our benefit that something happens. And that can be contrary to what we think would, which would help us. So has anybody got a story when they wanted something to happen and God said, no, it's not the right time? I know Sylvia has, but I'm not sure she's going to tell us the story. You going to tell us a story?
Go on, tell us a story.
Some of you may know this one before.
Right. Okay, it was... I should perhaps turn round. That would be a better idea. And some of you will certainly have heard this one before, I'm afraid, having just been told to tell it to you again. When I was leaving the Solomon Islands, I was looking at what am I going to do next. And one of the things that I did was I applied for a job at St. Andrew's Hall Missionary Training College, because they were advertising for a new tutor there. And before I left, I got back the nicest refusal letter that I've ever had, I think. And it was quite clear that that wasn't where I was going to go. And okay, I was a bit disappointed about that, because I thought, well, I've had quite a lot of experience now, and I think I could help prepare other people for missionary work. And I ended up in the office, which was quite a surprise. And that was another whole complete story, working with Andrew Prasad, that many of you now know, for 9 or 10 years there. And then when he left, another Andrew came. And one time I was actually in Zambia and we were organising a missionary training course in Zambia for people who were coming from different places and going to different places. And I stood on the path that day and I thought, that's amazing. Think of what you're doing. You're doing exactly what you were applying to do all those years ago at St. Andrew's Hall. And in the meantime, that would have been a residential post. In the meantime, St. Andrew's Hall had been sold up and closed and finished. And I thought, if God had said at that moment, yes, do this now, I would have been without anywhere to live. I'd have been without a job. I'd have been in Birmingham, which I didn't necessarily want to be in, and all of those things, and nothing would have worked out right there. But of course, I had no clue that in the future, in the quite near future, this was going to happen. And here I am in Zambia doing exactly the thing that I thought that would be good to do, but the timing is completely different. And so the situation is completely different, and the whole thing certainly was working out in a completely different kind of way. And I thought, thank goodness God said no at that time, and the people at St. Andrew's Hall.
That's great, thank you. So sometimes no can be a hard answer to deal with, can't it? But we've got to remember that God knows best. And like anybody who knows best, whether it's a parent when you're younger, or a friend, or anybody who knows best, it's always hard for us to take that if it doesn't agree with what we want. So, what we're going to do, if you could write on there as well, God's time. Yeah. Right, that's great. Thank you very much.